I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Badass Women's Hour Extra Bits. This is our little extra gift to you podcast subscribers. This week, we are talking to paraclimber Anousha Hussain about how you become a professional climber with just one arm.
Badass Women's Hour XL with Harriet Minter, Natalie Campbell and Emma Sexton on Talk Radio.
The Sunday Times Sportswomen of the Year Awards 2018 takes place on Thursday, 1st November. And here at Talk Radio, we are very much looking forward to this prestigious event with the Sunday Times. So to mark this over the next 3 weeks, we are going to meet some past winners and this year's nominees ahead of the ceremony. And tonight we're very lucky because we are joined by the Sunday Times sports writer Rebecca Myers and grassroots winner 2017 paraclimber Anousha Hussain to tell us more about the awards. Hello, ladies. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
Lovely to have you. Rebecca, tell us, for anyone who does not know about the awards, tell us what they are and how they came to be.
So they are in our 31st year now, which is quite extraordinary. Wow. When you think about how far women's sport has come, even just in sort of 3 years. 31 years ago, we had the first Sunday Times Sportswoman of the Year Awards.
Do you know who the first ever Sportswoman of the Year was?
The first ever Sportswoman of the Year was a woman called Olive Jones, who was very much in the sort of grassroots end. She was an extraordinary woman who sort of touched lots of people's lives. And now, you know, we're further down the line. We have lots of different awards that cover everything from your real elite athletes, your Dina Asher-Smiths and Lizzie Arnolds, just two who are up for the main award this year, all the way through to people who've created amazing things in their communities and inspired people. It's an amazing thing. And it's really been something, a great point of pride, I think, for the paper, because women's sport is still, in a lot of ways, in early days. But actually, we've been doing this for 3 decades now. Mm. and recognising women for that long. So. Mm. It's a fantastic thing.
Who should we be looking out for in this year's awards? Can you give us any little preview hints?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the big things that's exciting this year, every year our grassroots award, which is our community nominees, is up for public vote, which is great. And we have amazing people like Anousha who won last year. But also this year you can vote for your team of the year. So we've got, you know, the England netball squad, the Great Britain relay team, Chelsea Women Football Club, which is fantastic, and the GB Wheelchair Basketball Girls. So there are just some amazing women. You can like put your vote out there and make sure that your team wins this year. So that's all on our website, sportswomenoftheyear.co.uk. And then the main award, we've got, like I said, Dina Asher-Smith, Lizzie Arnold, Georgia Hall, who won the British Open. She's amazing. She's so young and such an exciting talent. Vicky Holland, the triathlete. And just these amazing, we've got young women, so many incredible women up for this year's award. It's fantastic.
I can't wait. Nah.
So we talk about women in sport a lot on this show because we think it's undercovered. Do you use the awards as a way of highlighting all of the brilliant women that are out there competing and doing grassroots work as a way to inspire the next generation? Do you get it in front of, you know, someone sitting in their bedroom at 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 thinking, I want to do that?
I really hope that's what they do. And I think if if you're a 10, 11-year-old girl and your parents read the Sunday Times and you open your sports section and you see two pages of amazing women, mm-hmm. you know, every week in the build-up to the awards, that's an extraordinary thing. And like you said, women's sport is not covered particularly widely just yet, but this is part of a wider thing that we do all year round. You know, mm-hmm. very much the sports section's dedication to women's sport is from, you know, January the 1st right the way through to December 31st. It's not something that we do just for 6 weeks a year with the SWOTY Awards. It's something we really make sure we commit to, and it's a big part of our work, I think.
We're also lucky enough to have last year's grassroots winner, Anusha Hussain, with us. Hello, Anusha.
Hiya.
So you are a paraclimber.
Yeah.
Tell us what that is.
So paraclimbing is basically disabled climbing. So it's climbing for people with disabilities and long-term health conditions.
And tell us a little bit about your disability.
So there's several. The most visible one is I was born missing my right arm below the elbow. So I'm classified as an upper limb climber when it comes to national comps. After that, then I also have other conditions like Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, which means my joints dislocate spontaneously. I had cancer, so I've got some secondary effects from treatment that still remain with me. And I've got about two or three other syndromes that are playing about underneath. Wow. Yay. This is like, I'm losing track.
I have to ask the obvious question, though, which is, how does somebody missing your right arm below the elbow climb?
So climbing, the great thing about it is probably the sport I've seen is that gives everybody equal ground to play on. So whether you're missing a leg, two legs, two arms, visually impaired, hearing impaired, whatever it is, you can always find a way around it, because it's not a sport based on just pure strength or just pure balance. You've got to mix up mental strength, actual strength, balance, technique, and just, you know, your ability to be a little bit creative. So whereas my able-bodied climbers, for instance, will climb a certain way, I might do a route and make it look spectacularly amazing, because that's the only way I will be able to do it, for instance, or fall flat on my face really easily from the ground. And it's just one of those things where we just kind of just be prepared to say that nothing's impossible. It might be, but only after you've tried a few hundred times.
And what made you get into climbing? When was that moment that you really, you know, got into it and then became passionate enough to want to keep doing it?
So I tried it as an 8-year-old for an hour in a school trip and loved it. But I came home as, like, it wasn't sort of, you know, danger sport and all, wasn't really encouraged and stuff. So I never really took it up. And then when I was 23, post-cancer, my left arm, which is the full arm and my good arm, was actually really impacted post-treatment. And I was really struggling to do things like dry my hair, putting my socks on, really basic tasks. So my independence was being questioned. And one of my really good friends who'd done this school trip with me when I was 8 said, "You've always wanted to try the sport. This is now or never, because it's a chance for you to strengthen up your left arm." And I was like, "You're nuts." Because, you know, back then when I was a kid, I was relatively healthy. And I, you know, dude, now, after everything that's happened, really, are you kidding? I tried it, really enjoyed it. When I moved to London, didn't keep it up because I didn't have a partner. A couple of, just under 3 years ago, when I moved in the flat I was in, just moved out of now, and my flatmate was a complete rank amateur, didn't have a partner, wanted to climb, so was I. We both decided to go there and be bad together. And then within 3 months of that, I was basically on a training track to start competing. And within that year, I'd picked up second in the UK.
Amazing. And when you say didn't have a partner, do you have to have a partner to climb?
No, you don't. So there's several forms of climbing. So there's bouldering, which is unroped, and you can go without a partner. And then there's roped climbing, which generally I would normally start most disabled people on there, because I run disabled climbing in London now for a lot of people. But I'd start them on there because there's just a little more safety, and you can take body weight off people, and you can be there to guide them a little bit more, and they can rest a little bit easier. So they can learn a bit faster without the fear of falling flat on their faces and things. So mm-hmm. I prefer partnered climbing, but, you know, there's a lot of ways you can do it solo without needing friends.
Mm. Amazing.
And you won the Grassroots Award last year. Tell us a little bit about what you won it for.
So I won the Helen Rollison Award for apparently being inspirational.
I definitely see that. Without a doubt.
So the thing that I started doing once I started climbing is I got involved with the This Girl Can campaign to try and get women and girls active in sport and start talking about the fears I faced when starting a new sport. So body image, things like looking silly in a yoga class, things like feeling self-conscious about wearing a harness, my bum looking too big, or, you know, being that 1.5-arm girl trying something new and looking silly, which is normal when you're new because you're going to be bad at it, right? But it was verbalizing all of this stuff that people are actually genuinely scared of, and saying actually it's okay to be scared. And I started blogging, and basically that ended up becoming what is today a public blog about my life, and basically on its way telling people with chronic illness, or telling people when their lives aren't going the way that they're meant to, that it's okay to, one, feel scared about, and two, really rant about it, but then after that to get back up and make a choice to carry on. And that's what it's for.
Does climbing help with your mental well-being? I'm making an assumption that climbing has given you a resilience and a confidence to be able to work through some of your illnesses and also have that frame of reference of actually there's always tomorrow.
Yeah, so climbing in itself acts as my physio besides being an actual competitive sport for me. So even on a bad day, on a day where I'm really not doing well, I'll still go in and try and climb just for physical fitness. But it's the sport, the only sport so far that has let me forget the world. So when I'm on the routes, because it's an actual puzzle, it's a vertical puzzle. And sometimes lateral, that actually, if you're too focused on the world around you, you won't fix the puzzle. You won't get through it. And even if it's you don't top the route, but you just get one move further or two moves further, that's still so all-encompassing sometimes that you just literally forget that you're an abnormal person. And that, yeah, for me, that means I get a break from the world. It's a form of escapism, but what I like to call constructive escapism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's completely inspired me. I really want to start climbing. If somebody else has been inspired by that and they want to start climbing, how do you get into it? Where should you be looking?
It's really easy. There's about, Google climbing in London. There's about 12, 14 walls in London now of all different types. Some really big ones with ropes, and you've got a lot of small ones that don't have ropes. They all do taster courses. If you are somebody who's got long-term health conditions or disabilities, I founded in March and now run Paraclimbing London. We've got over 115 members. It's free to join. Sessions are just pay your session at the wall, but the being part of our coaching group is free. So we provide free coaching, free support, from taking from a complete beginner who doesn't know what they're doing to, if you're on Team GB, we've got several of them in our group as well.
Amazing. And where can people find out more about that? Good website?
Facebook for us. Facebook group. And join. At Paraclimbing London.
Beautiful. Great. Love it. Rebecca, Anisha, thank you so much for coming to join us. The votes are now open for the Sunday Times Sportswoman of the Year Awards 2018. And you can vote for your Sportswoman of the Year on sportswomenoftheyear.co.uk. 1, 2, 3, 4! This has been the Badass Women's Hour podcast with me, Harriet Minter, Natalie Campbell and Emma Sexton. If you want to hear more from us, you can come follow us on social media at Badass Women's Hour, HR, or leave us a review and tell us how much you love us. We really need to feel the love. 5 stars should do it.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.